Lecture 15, The Theory and Practice of the Mandala.
In the last lecture, we saw that the goal of tantric practice was to understand emptiness, to embody emptiness, to come to some kind of direct awareness of emptiness by achieving a union of opposites. This union was expressed by a series of symbolic pairs. We talked about the symbolic distinction between wisdom and compassion, male and female, and so on and so forth, all embodied, expressed, represented in various ways in tantric art and tantric symbolism. These pairs applied to the personality, to each individual person, to ritual action, to the tantric gestures and rituals that are used to embody these images and to understand their significance, and also to the cosmos as a whole. In this lecture, we're going to discuss a system of tantric symbolism that's based not on the number of two, not on the idea that you unify reality by unifying simply pairs of opposites, but on the number five, as expressed in the symbolism of the mandala. And as before, the goal is going to be to overcome duality by sewing the complex reality of human experience into a single unified whole. So the symbolism of the mandala is another important expression of the tantric tradition and a very common way in which people encounter tantric Buddhism in the practice of Buddhism. So let's start out with a basic question. What is a mandala and what does it express? The word mandala itself is a pretty simple word. It means simply a circle. So a mandala, as complex as it can often become when it's elaborated symbolically in tantric art, is basically a circle. In its most simple form, a mandala consists of five major points: north, south, east, and west, and then the point at the center. In tantric art, in tantric symbolism, and in tantric practice, a separate Buddha can be associated with each one of these points. These five Buddhas, the five Buddhas of the mandala, are known as meditation Buddhas or dhyani Buddhas, Buddhas who were often used in meditation and often, of course, expressed in the artistic representation of a mandala. The identity of these Buddhas is not fixed. It's one of the things that makes the study of the symbolism of a mandala so complex. Different Buddhas are often associated with different mandalas and different rituals, and Buddhas often change places in the mandala depending on the practice of the person who approaches the mandala or uses it for a specific purpose. But a Buddha who often occupies the center of a mandala is the Buddha Akshobhya. This is a Buddha we haven't encountered before. He's an important Buddha, particularly in the tantric tradition. His name means the unshakable. So Akshobhya Buddha is the Buddha who sits at the center of the mandala and is unshaken. He symbolizes consciousness, and he also symbolizes the element of space. Now, you could say, I think, when you encounter the mandala for the first time, that it's useful to think of it as functioning in a rather simple ritual way. It simply draws a line around some ritual space, demarcates it, and separates it from the profane space that lies outside. And then it suggests in some way that you can walk around this space, perhaps circumambulate its perimeter, and then encounter reality directly by moving right straight to the center of the mandala. So a mandala, you might say, draws a circle around space, and it suggests to us that the movement of our consciousness, perhaps the movement even of our physical journey, is to go around the mandala, encounter its diversity, and then unify reality by going right straight to the center.